Danny Kalunga. Doki.
All right. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You know, this is my first time back. I think it was here a year ago, maybe a little longer. But the first time back, calling Dan, Pastor Dan.
Yeah.
It's awesome. It's awesome, Pastor Dan. And with that title comes a lot of responsibility. You know, I praise Dan for many years that we've known each other. Most of all for the fellowship and the love of Christ that we have to share with each other. There was a time where I was asked to speak at one of the pig roasts. And I was there with Pastor Jerry, and I was paralyzed from the waist down. And Pastor Jerry wheeled me up. And he had a big ramp, and he built that ramp so I could get up there. And he wheeled me up, wheeled me down, and then my wife used to do all that. And as soon as guys used to see her parking in the church parking lot, they used to run out there and help her get the wheelchair out and stuff. But I thank God that I am healed. I am healed, and God has delivered and set me free from that. So I praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for this beautiful, beautiful morning that you have blessed us with. And as that song, this is the day that you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And whatever happens today, Lord, we will rejoice knowing that we got to come here and to worship and praise you and have some meal together with the men here and to listen to each other's prayer requests, Lord, that we may have in our hearts to keep them in our hearts as we do pray. And Lord, just let the Holy Spirit have his way this morning. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everyone said, amen. You know, there's many times where I spoke at it used to be called Full Gospel Businessmen. It was way back in the years. And yesterday I spoke, and there was about 200 guys, and they were all businessmen. Only four of them were Christians. And I was told that, you know, but they wanted, they invited me to speak about 6 months ago. So I said, sure, you know, it doesn't matter if you're Christians or non-Christians. You know, as long as I'm open to share Jesus. And they, oh yeah, bring a Bible and everything. So as I was down there, I had the privilege at the end, five or six guys come up, and a couple of them were pretty well-to-do, you know. I mean, I'm talking about not only millionaires, billionaires, you know, and all these companies and stuff they own. A lot of their language went over my head, okay. And I just smiled and said, yes, so, you know, thank God, praise the Lord. But my heart broke because of them not wanting Christ, but them shooting for another goal, and that's to be rich. And there's nothing wrong with money. It's the love of money. And that's what I was trying to share with them. It's the love of money that God wants to use you in every way, whether you're a Christian or non-Christian. But it was the love of money. And they go, but we're used to a certain lifestyle. And that lifestyle has been, our kids grew up that way. And you know, my heart broke because how many of you here are at least millionaires? You know, we must have one or two millionaires here, you know? So, you know what? You know, the value of money. Amen. Rich in Christ. That's it. Amen. How many here are rich in Christ? How many are filthy rich in Christ? Amen. And you know what takes place then is when I share with these guys and they share with me, I had nothing against what they were doing. It was just more of, they call me Father. You know, they thought it was Catholic. So they called me Father. So then I said, well, you got to get on your knees too and kiss my ring. But no, I'm kidding. But they called me Father, and one guy, a white guy, called me Padre. And so I go, it was funny. It's kind of cute when they say that. But you know what? They asked me the question that a lot of people ask, probably you. How do you accept a man in your heart that you can't even see?
And you can read books about him. You read the Bible about him, but they ask, how can you accept that? You know, a person that you don't even see, and yet you give your whole life to him. And I said, you know what? It's called faith. I go, you try tomorrow morning. It's real simple. Get up in the morning, turn on your lights, go in the bathroom, brush your teeth and stuff. Then stop and think. Did I go to that switch and that I think for a minute or two, is it going to work or not? But by faith, just by you knowing that it should work, you just automatically turn it on and off, and it works. And that's the kind of faith we need to have. We can't see him. We feel him, we feel his presence, we read the word, we learn about him, and one day soon we are going to see him. But sometimes we get distracted. I had a brother from Ireland that was just here for 10 days, and he comes 3 times a year and he borrows my car for that 10-day period. So 6 months ago, he let me know that my car was pulling to the right. So as I was coming home from the Full Gospel Businessmen, and yesterday I was talking to Dan on the phone. I had a long drive from L.A. We got to talk, and I go, you know, this guy told me my car is pulling, and I just hit the brakes, and I could feel it. Now I could feel it. But it brought me to my attention about our spiritual walk. We don't feel the enemy all the time. Sometimes we feel we're doing so good and we're walking that line, that narrow path. Because I thought my brakes were good. Or I thought the alignment was good. But I would just, finally, I felt it. And then I started saying, boy, I need to get this fixed before it does some damage. Sometimes that's where our lives are. We don't see the enemy attacking right now, but he's doing it. And until you feel that tug, that real big tug, it could be pornography. It could be drinking, alcohol, drugs. It could be, you know, you just go to the store to get a gallon of milk and some bread, and the enemy's right there outside the store, a friend of yours, and all of a sudden he offers you something for free, even free. And that's where I was telling Dan, you know what, Dan? We don't feel those struggles all the time until it really hits us, and sometimes it's too late. But it's never too late for God. God has his timing. He has his perfect timing. One thing I want to share today is about God will carry you through this trial. And you know, as we realize sometimes of our purpose in life, we know God is watching over us. And sometimes we feel he's not, for certain reasons, or, you know, we feel like he's not watching over us. My son was over last weekend. He goes to UCI, and he came over to spend the weekend with me. And he was watching Netflix, but they were watching Netflix? Is that what it's called, Netflix? And he was watching about animals. And we have a TV that he could see all the nice colors of all these different animals and how they live and feed off of things. And it showed a monkey, these monkeys that live in this one country. And it showed when the baby came attached to the mother, and then the father was around. And all of a sudden, the father starts climbing to a really high tree. But he could do it. He knows his way. Then the baby seen that. And as the baby seen it, he tried doing it. But the father kicked back down the tree and just watched. He just watched until he seen him up to a certain limb. Then the father knew, I better go up there. Because if he falls, it's dead. It's really dead for this baby. And sometimes I think about our Father. He is watching us. Even when we go through those valleys of darkness, he's watching us. And he's there every footstep. You know, sometimes we have to say, God, where are you? And he always whispers back to us, "I'm here. I'm here. Don't worry." I heard a song yesterday, and we all know it. "He ain't heavy. He's my brother." Then I start hearing all the words to it, and it made a lot of sense, you know? No matter what trials we go through, they're not heavy for the Lord. They're heavy for us. But for God, He will carry us through this. You know, there's a story in John chapter 15, verse 16. John chapter 15, verse 16. And we all know the story about Lazarus. And I want to share with you because, you know, God's timing is perfect timing. When we want that car, first one we do sometimes is call Bank of America and see what we qualify for. Or we call the credit union, see what we qualify for, or if we can't even get it. You know, then we go to God. When they refuse us, then we pray, "God, you know I need this." And you know what? God is still there. He is still there. And God changes hearts. Chapter 15, starting with verse 16. So God will carry us through all these trials, guys. And God has chosen each and every one of you, us, for a certain responsibility, like I said, with Pastor Dan. With Pastor in front of his name now, there's a lot of responsibility to that. You know, a lot of responsibility. I think a 7-day fast starts tomorrow. No, he goes, that's later. He's got to be more in the pastoralship. But let me tell you, being a pastor, being a leader, being an overseer, it takes more than just reading your Bible and praying. It takes submitting everything you have to God. In John 15:16, "You did not choose me," as Jesus, "but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that love one another." So now he's saying, whatever you want, I will give you. Whatever you want, I will give you. And sometimes we got to stop and not take that so literally. Because when people pray, "He promised me this. He promised. How come I'm not getting it right now?" Because it's not God's timing. It's not God's timing. You know, as we were reading, I was reading about Lazarus. And just before Jesus found out about his best friend being dead, it was a town where they were already planning on killing Jesus. But he had left there for 4 or 5 days. When he found out about his best friend that's dead, Jesus says, "Don't worry. Don't worry." And he waited another day. He waited another day. He waited the 3rd, 4th day. Then he journeyed back to see his friend, Lazarus. When he got there, we know the story how Mary went up to him. If you would have been here, you know what? He would have been alive. Again, Jesus, "Don't worry. Don't worry, I am here." And you know what? It doesn't matter if he was there 4 days ago or that day. He had a plan. He chose Lazarus for this one miracle that people may see and they may glorify Jesus. God will carry you guys, whatever you're going through. Loneliness, you miss your family. Some of you are single. You want a wife. You want someone that you could go to church with. You could go to couples dinners with, Valentine's. You want somebody. God's timing. You may say, "Well, it's getting really close. I'm already 40 or 50. God's timing is there. When Jesus got there, they all went up to him. "He's dead. He's dead." And what did he say? He said, "He's not dead." Let's start with verse 111.
chapter 11. It says, "Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick." So now here's a family we're talking about that knows Jesus. They know the power of Jesus. And she's one of the famous women in the Bible that we know that done something great. She used an expensive perfume to clean the feet of Jesus. And it goes on, verse 4, when Jesus heard that, he said, "The sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God." Now he's starting to tell the people. He's starting to minister to the people. He's not doing that miracle yet. For some of you saying, "Wow, I've been in the ranch 4 months, and man, I don't feel a difference. You know, a lot of rules, but I don't feel different yet. I pray, I read, but I could have done that out in the world." Give it time. God will carry you through. When Jesus said that, he heard that he was sick, and sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Verse 5, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." So he said, "Wait, guys, you know, don't worry. I got this under control. God will carry you through the trial in his time." And Jesus was just saying, "Don't worry." Now, in 2010, let me share real quick. First, in 2003, I was diagnosed with osteosarcoma. It's a bone cancer. And it started off on my right knee. Within 48 hours, I was in surgery. And I had they made a choice of amputation or fight it. And they fought it. And I got put bars in my femur. And I've had about 14 surgeries now. And at the same time, I had to go through chemo and radiation and then also walk again. And I didn't know when it was going to ever be done. And people were always praying for me, and I kept getting impatient. When is this going to happen? When am I going to be normal? Well, not quite normal, but 10 years ago, 50 pounds more, God has touched me. He's set me free from that cancer. There were times people were at the bedside, you know. Doctor said I had 6 months to live one time. And you know what? I got scared. Nothing wrong with being scared when they tell you that. What else do you think of? I mean, sure, I'm going to heaven. I'm going to be with the Lord. But you start thinking of your kids, your wife, life. You know, I love life. I love life. I love coming to men's breakfasts. I love going home after this and take a little nap, too, because, you know, it hit the spot. But I'll tell you what. I love life. But my priority is to get to heaven one day. But until that day comes, I enjoy what God has blessed me with. So after I got healed, I was doing okay, still limping, using back braces. Then all of a sudden in 2010, my wife started having, they thought it was carpal tunnel. So they said they'll do surgery. And I said, no, I'll take care of it. Let me do therapy on it and stuff. Well, we found out it was not carpal tunnel. It was the beginning of Parkinson's, or a disease called MSA, multiple symptoms of syncope, meaning that it hits your motor skills, you know, your nerves that tells you to blink, move fingers, do this. Well, first year she was okay. Second year, she got what they call dystonia. You see people walking around with their head like this forever? Well, hers was down. So she got dystonia. Within that year, all of a sudden, things started getting worse and worse. And then she got a feeding tube. And things start fading.
You know, we were blessed to have her 2 more years than we were supposed to. And I thank God for that. There were times we laughed and laughed. In the midst of death, we laughed. In the midst of death, we cried. But she never, ever, and God is my witness, she never said, "Why me?" You know? She never said, cried about it, like, you know, make a big thing about it. She just knew that it was God's will for her to go home, and if He's going to take her home this way, then that's going to be it. August 2014, she wanted to die at the house. And what a... Anyone ever tell you when people die, they die in a home, that there's a presence, that unbelievable presence of God? It's true. Even in the hospital, when you're with them and they're Christians and they go to be with the Lord, it's an incredible experience. There were many people around the bedside. And all of a sudden, when she took a deep breath, you can see that exhale come out. And the nurse goes, well, she's gone, but her heart's still beating. And that was weird. So she was still with us. For what reason God kept that heart going, I don't know. Because within 10 minutes, the heart stopped. And at that time, she went to be with the Lord. I mean, it was incredible feeling. And some people did get offended. My mother-in-law, a couple other family members, because we were praising God, worshiping the Lord. Not singing those, whoa, you know, sad songs. Singing clappy songs. Just like Fernando plays. And we were just worshiping the Lord and praising Him and thanking Him for the time that He did give her to me and to us. I thought I would never make it. And I'm not talking suicidal. I just recovered from the emotional impact it had on me. I miss her dearly. We dated 5 years. We're married 33 years this year. And her birthday's next week. And those times you think of her... And something happened last July, and the Lord said, she's with me. I stopped going to the cemetery every day. Every day I was there. And I just go once a month, and I had to surrender her to the Lord that I didn't do. You know what? There's things in your life right now that you need to surrender over to the Lord. Whether it's those thoughts... Whether it's pornography, drugs, any kind of sin that you're thinking of, you need to surrender those over to the Lord, and He will take care of them. Because God will carry you through those trials. Because when Jesus said to them, "Hey, He's not dead," we'll start with verse 8. The disciples said to Him, "Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you. And you're going there again?" Man, this dude, man, he had no fear. You know, he knew who he was. Yeah, I'm going there again. I'm going there for a purpose, though. And the purpose was he was going to be glorified through this miracle. And Jesus answered, "And there are not 12 hours in a day. If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if you walk in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him." These things he said, and after that he said to them. And I was thinking of the businessman yesterday on that scripture. That they're not walking in the light. They're walking in money. Money, you know, they're walking in money that's going to keep them through. And one guy was talking about how he had a bad deal and he lost like something, $1.something million, but he was laughing. You know, he was happy. But they're walking in the money, the joy of the money. "Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up." Verse 12, "Then his disciples said, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get well. However, Jesus spoke of his death,
But they thought that he was speaking about taking rest in sleep.
No, Lazarus was dead. He was dead. He smelled. It was gone. It was time for Jesus now to do what he does best.
And Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sake that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. Then Thomas, who is called the twin, said to the fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. Verse 17, so when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb for 4 days. So, Jesus, he was in the tomb for 4 days, but Jesus waited 2 days before he went there. The guy smelled. Verse 19, and many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would have not died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Woo! Man. Get rid of the sin in your life. God wants to rise in your life today. Because God will carry you through. Get rid of that sin in your life. Maybe you're having some weakness in reading and praying and studying and fellowshipping. Get that laziness out of your life. And get the fellowship back with the brothers. And it goes on with verse 20. Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, she went to him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Okay, verse 24. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though may die, he shall live. And whoever lives, believes in me, shall never die. Do you believe this? Do you believe it? Do you believe that today? Amen. Do you believe that today? That although we live today, and maybe we live with some achiness in our body, or cancer, diabetes, hepatitis, maybe we live with something in our body that shouldn't be there. But we live in Jesus Christ, and He can set it free. You know, there's many times where we have to say, God, can you really do it? I did. I asked, God, can you really fix my emotions inside? Because I cry every day. And then I went to a psychiatrist and a therapist, and they said, oh, you're mourning and grieving. They go, so we'll prescribe this medication. And then I've never taken those kind before. And all of a sudden I realize, where's my battle? It's inside of here. And my battle belongs to Jesus, not the medication. But he gave it to me. As soon as I go and leave the prescription, I found out my insurance don't cover it. It was like 80-something bucks. So that was a blessing. I didn't get it. I'm used to paying $5 in the pickup, but now I didn't get it. But God gave me that new heart. He told me she is with me. And so when I did go see her at Christmas time, I just was there, had my devotions, prayed, and left. Because I know her soul and spirits with Jesus. And one day, when the trumpets blow, guys, we're going to meet in the air. And dead in Christ will be first, and then we'll be right behind her. Right behind your loved ones that are there, man. We're going to be there. Are you ready for that moment? Are you ready? And if you're not ready, remember, God will carry you through it. Through all your trials you're going through right now, God will carry you through it. I want every head bow, every eye closed in. A lot of times, C.S. Lewis said, God whispers to us in our pleasures, but he speaks to us in our consciousness, but shouts to us in our pain. God is shouting to you right now, give it to me, give it to me.
Quit holding on to it. Give it to me. And if you don't release it, it's your pain, not his. He wants you to have the freedom in Christ. He wants you to be free of whatever you're going through. And I tell you something right now, because I come from a church that's about 7,000, 8,000. And 2 weeks ago, our pastor spoke on Facebook about alcohol drinking. And then Thursday, he spoke again on Facebook about adultery and fornication. And he's gotten so many letters, hate mail, because people aren't agreeing with them. And you know the sad part about it? Is some Christians aren't believing in that either. Too many zipping Christians going around. Too many people saying, oh, it's okay, I can have one or two beers, I can control it now. Are you glorifying God through that? Are you edifying Him? Are you causing someone else to stumble when they see you across the room at a pizza place and they thought you were sold out for God? If you're hooked on pornography, if that's bothering you so much right now, give it over to Jesus. He wants it. He wants it all. Some of you are new to the ranch and you're having a hard time with rules. Give it over to Him. God will carry you through the trial. And if there's anyone here right now, every head bow, every eye closed, it's between you, God, and me, that's saying, you know what, I do need a new renewal of my life. Just lift your hand up where you're at now. Just lift your hands. I see that. I see that. Amen. See that hand. See that one. Just surrender all to God right now. Say, God, take this away from me anymore. I see those hands. I see them. Maybe there's some good Christian husbands in here that haven't been that husband that they should be to their wives. And you're saying, Lord, teach me to be more loving to my wife. Teach me to be more caring to my children. Teach me to share Jesus more with my wife. Father, we thank you for these men that lifted their hands up, that are surrendering their weaknesses in their lives, Father. And Father, I don't need to ask them what they are. You know what they are, Father. You're there just like you took 2 days and you got to Lazarus. And as we read further, Lord, you see how he said, Lazarus, rise. And he rose and he was alive. And he did it so people may see the glory of the Son of God, Jesus. Let us all be able to see Jesus at his best, Lord, taking care of each and every one of us, the hands that were up. Father, if there's any men here that their wives are ill, maybe with diabetes or a woman illness, Father, that we pray for them. We lift them up to you, Father, that you will take care of them in every way. So, Lord, as we commit to our communion today, let it be a special time, Lord, that we just have communion and that you do get glory and honor in this time. I'm going to ask Pastor Dan to come back up, and we're going to have communion right now. Okay. Dan.
We have Fernando play a song while we pass out the element. Okay?
They're here?